Sometimes after infidelity, a couple is trying to reconcile, and the betrayed partner's emotional flooding is very intense. Like, they're processing a lot, they're going through a lot, and their partner, the one who cheated on them, isn't seemingly willing to sit with them through all of it. And the question is it because they're not able to? Is it because they don't want to? And so I want to explore this question of why is it that sometimes they're not willing to help more? Because on the one hand, if the unfaithful partner is emotionally detached, refuses to answer reasonable questions, becomes irritated anytime the affair is mentioned, or expects the betrayed partner to heal quietly so that they never have to feel uncomfortable or feel the consequences of what they did, that's a huge problem. But on the other hand, if the emotional flooding, if the triggers become so intense, so frequent, so destructive that the other person genuinely can't continue participating in the same dynamic, that is a different issue. That doesn't automatically mean that they don't care in that scenario. And so what is emotional flooding after infidelity? It's what happens when the nervous system becomes overwhelmed and the emotions begin controlling the interaction. It can include panic, rage, grief, intrusive thoughts, an urgent need to resolve everything immediately. It might be this feeling like you're physically unable to let the conversation end because stopping feels like abandonment or avoidance or proof that the truth is still not safe. But the key point that unfortunately does need to be stated more clearly than often is stated is that if this conversation includes screaming, insults, name-calling, threats, or hours of circular questioning, or repeated demands that the other person drops whatever they're doing, even if they're like at work, then this issue is no longer only that the betrayed partner is hurting. The way that hurt is being expressed does matter. And so the betrayed partner may genuinely be reacting from trauma. And it is also true that the unfaithful partner may have caused that trauma. And it could also be true that the current way that they're interacting is not sustainable and that they're wise for stepping back and saying, we can't be doing this right now. So is taking space a red flag? It depends what they're taking space from. If the betrayed partner is expressing intense emotion, but still communicating respectfully, and the unfaithful partner simply doesn't want to feel guilt or sadness or discomfort, in that scenario, distancing often would just be avoidance at that point. If their position is, I only want to work on this once you stop being upset about it, that's not realistic repair. The betrayed partner should not have to become completely calm before the person who hurt them is willing to participate in the repair. But in the other scenario of screaming and name-calling and insults and threats, if they choose to put up a boundary at that point, it can be really hard for the betrayed partner because it feels like you caused this and now you're leaving me alone with it, and it can feel like another abandonment. And that feeling makes perfect sense. But you need to be able to separate, I can't keep participating in the way this pain's currently coming out, and I'm abandoning you. Those are separate things. The betrayed partner might be feeling rejection when the other person is actually just asking for a different structure. At the same time, the phrase, this is affecting my mental health, does not automatically end the conversation either. It can be true, but it can also be used in a vague way to avoid accountability. The unfaithful partner, I would still expect to be able to explain what specifically has become unmanageable for their mental health. Was it the frequency of the conversations, the yelling, the lack of sleep? Or was it simply that they did not enjoy being reminded of what they did? Those are so different. So compare for a second. If the unfaithful partner says, I can't deal with your emotions, come back to me when you're over it, versus I want to work on this, but I can't continue conversations where I'm screamed at, willing to answer questions, talk about what happened, do whatever you need, but let's just pause for a minute so that neither of us goes too far or says things we regret. That is a boundary, and that is fine to have. Expecting the other person to get over it completely on their own, that's just avoidance, and it's not healthy. And I will say that sometimes a period of separation or no contact can be helpful if the relationship has just become too dysregulated and too dysfunctional for either person to think or act clearly. Sometimes having space for both people to stabilize is what's best. But I should also note that that doesn't automatically fix things. It just gets you both to a point where you can be more mentally prepared to do the work. And both partners need to do the work. It's not just on the betrayed partner to move past what was keeping them dysregulated. The unfaithful partner also needs to do the work to get a deeper understanding of the affair, of taking responsibility without being defensive, being prepared to hear and be sympathetic to and understand the pain that they caused. They need to be mentally ready to help with triggers and being patient. And they need to be ready to rebuild trust through consistent behavior. We've talked about what it might sound like from the unfaithful partner. What would it sound like from the betrayed partner to articulate what they're saying without turning it into more? They're allowed to say things like, I am just devastated and torn up by what happened. They're allowed to say, I really want and need a clear answer to these questions. They're allowed to say, I'm angry with you. You're even allowed to say, a part of me hates you. You're allowed to say, I do not trust you right now. You can say all those things without it devolving into threats, screaming, and insults. So sometimes this topic is brought up because the betrayed partner is trying to determine, are they just not interested in fixing this relationship? Is that why they're not wanting to kind of be with me when I'm having these emotional flooding moments? I'd say take a step back from that. Look at the overall posture of the person. Are they taking responsibility for what they've done? Do they show genuine concern for the impact? Are they willing to return to difficult conversations just under healthier conditions? Are they trying to work on themselves? And when they say they want to work on things later, do they actually come back to it? In general, it's helpful when trying to figure out where your partner is at to introduce more questions, to include more variables, so you can kind of get an average. You know, they might not be meeting you in this one specific area the way that you want, and that deserves to be addressed. But look at the whole picture first to understand where they're coming from, to understand whether that's just one shortcoming or if it's indicative of a larger pattern that they're just not willing to do the work at all.